Who cares about the Hemingways? Shut up and play your cards, Antoine, so we can get started on another hand.
Like the Count, Dominique had already folded, recognizing danger when she saw it. Same as sculptor Karen Wagner, with whom Dominique was finishing off a bottle of cognac gelat to drown her poker sorrows. As the war artist leaned back against her chair, a glowing shred of tobacco from her gitane drifted down to the chair's maple arm. The expensive 15-piece Art Nouveau dining set had only been delivered last week, and Zoe was quite proud of it. Trying not to think about her new chair's fate, she said to the Count,
"Since Fortier is so busy smirking, perhaps you could tell me what's going on with the Hemingways. I've been too busy painting to keep up with the latest gossip."
The Count gave her a gentle smile. She'd always seen a touch of El Greco in Sergei Ivanovich Aronofsky's gaunt, hollow-cheeked face. His arms and legs were thin, too, testaments to the hungry months he'd spent on the run from the Bolsheviks.
"You announce you've been painting. Ha! As if we couldn't tell, dear Zoe. We can smell the turpentine and linseed oil from here. I don't understand why you can't copy the others of your kind and maintain a separate studio. It's certainly not because you're hurting for money."
At this, Kiki giggled. Zoe didn't. "Your kind?" One aristocrat at the poker table was bad enough, but whenever two of them showed up on the same evening, snobbery ran rife, and Zoe sometimes found herself in sneaking sympathy with the mobs who dragged her friend's lordly forebearers to their deaths on the guillotine. True, the Count's woes were more recent than Fortier's. Only 5 years earlier, when the Bolsheviks took over Russia, the poor man lost his wife, his grand estate, and two Rembrandts. In the odd way of the world, his luck had almost immediately turned. Upon reaching the welcoming arms of Paris, he'd met and married a wealthy French widow. Shortly thereafter, he'd found himself widowed again. Despite the Count's travails, he still looked down his nose on the untitled. One would think that Jules' love would cure him of his snobbery, but it hadn't happened yet. Zoe sighed, thinking it was no wonder that Bolsheviks had shot his kind against their tapestried walls. However, it was rumored Sergei had managed to escape the bloodbath with a small hoard of diamonds, and since he was a laughably bad poker player, she'd grown to appreciate the extra pin money his inclusion at her Poker Fridays earned her. Besides, despite his occasional bouts of arrogance, she'd grown fond of the man. Unlike other aristocrats she could mention, at least the Count had a heart. Feeling the need to defend the acrid aromas in her snug little house, she said,
Now, Sergei, I'm a painter, and like most painters, I keep odd hours. 2 and 3 a.m. often find me working, so having my studio here keeps me from walking the streets in the wee hours and being confused with another sort of woman."
At this, everyone laughed, but the mischievous Kiki pretended to find more than humor in Zoe's off-color joke.
"Walking the streets? But Zoe, chérie, it would be fun! Perhaps you and I could do that together."
Since the raven-haired model's spat with her lover, photographer Man Ray, she'd been attending Zoe's Poker Fridays with a variety of new suitors, all of whom had loads of money. Zoe didn't mind. The young men were always good for a laugh, and wasn't that what Paris was all about? Laughter and good times? Nick Stewart, Kiki's suitor of the moment, wasn't a half-bad artist himself. Despite the color blindness that ran amok through his inbred Boston family. But color blindness had never hampered a Dadaist, what with the urinals, hair clippings, and other nonsense objects they hung on gallery walls and called art with a capital A. Few of them bothered to paint anymore, including Nick, who was currently working on an installation combining shoelaces and chicken bones. Kiki's outré comment begged an answer.
"Walk the streets together, Kiki. Sorry, but I must decline. I don't have what you French ladies call savoir-faire, or your beauty, and I'd wind up with a less-than-top-notch clientele. And who wants to have sex with hobos?"
Directing her attention back to the Marquis, Zoe asked,
"Now what were you saying about Ernest and Hadley?"
Not that Zoe cared about Ernest Hemingway.